Hello and what is up, guys? Welcome to the first edition of Experts Hour, River Hill's first ever weekly fantasy football podcast. I'm Aaron Hirsch, and I'm joined here by
Josh Mann,
Devin Hendrick,
and Dawson Wolf, the best fantasy sports player to ever live. In today's show, we're going to be looking at Week 11 fantasy football news.
So first on the show, we're going to go over Week 10 news, and Devontae Freeman is currently in the NFL's concussion protocol and is questionable for Monday night.
Redskins running back Rob Kelly suffered an ankle and knee injury and will miss multiple games.
The NFL has finally suspended Ezekiel Elliott, and he is out until Week 16.
And Danny Woodhead, who hasn't played since Week 1, is finally making his return this week and is only owned in 39.4% of ESPN leagues, so he might be a smart pickup for you if you're lacking running backs on your team.
For Week 11, I have to decide who I want to start between Charles Clay and Cameron Brate. Dawson, who should I start and why?
That is a great question, Josh, and in my opinion, I would go with Cameron Brate. Even though the Buccaneers' offense has been struggling a little bit, I am a little bit biased towards Cameron Brate because he is my boy.
Another spot I'm having trouble with this week is whether to start Latavius Murray or Jerick McKinnon against the Rams.
Personally, I would start McKinnon because I think the Rams are going to be up in this ballgame, and the Vikings are going to look to play catch-up, and I think that's where McKinnon fits in. He's going to have a big game.
I agree. Jerick McKinnon.
I'm going to go with Jerick McKinnon also.
In one of my standard leagues, I drafted Jordy Nelson in the first round. But this week, since he's been struggling so much recently without Rodgers, I'm thinking about starting Jamison Crowder over him. What do you guys think?
I think you should start Jamison Crowder. Even though Jordy Nelson is a top five receiver in the league, in my opinion, his quarterback struggles are it's just bad. And although Jamison Crowder's been dropping a lot of passes this year, I feel like he's going to have a breakout week.
I strongly disagree. Jordy Nelson all the way. Brent Hundley is about to turn it around.
I think that you should start Jordy Nelson because once he connects with Brett Hundley, he'll be a beast just like he was with Rodgers.
All right, I have a question for you guys. I have to decide between Rishard Matthews and Cooper Kupp to start this week. What do you guys think?
I think this week I would go with Cooper Kupp because Rishard Matthews is playing the Steelers, who have a really nice pass defense, and they're also in the turnaround, which is a Thursday night game. So I think Kupp's going to have a really good week again with Jared Goff under center.
I would start Rishard Matthews because I already have Cooper Kupp listed as one of my sits of the week.
I would agree with Josh and start Matthews because the Steelers do have kind of a banged up secondary with Joe Hayden being in.
All right, next up we're going to go over each of our starts of the week. So, Devin, who's your start of the week?
In my opinion, I think you should start Alvin Kamara if you have him, especially if you're in a PPR league. He's found the end zone 4 times in the last 3 weeks, and over the last 7 weeks, he's averaged 14.8 fantasy points, which is outstanding for a running back who splits carries. Also, he's playing the Redskins, who have allowed 109.6 rushing yards to opposing teams.
My start of the week is Atlanta Falcons running back Tevin Coleman. With the injury to Devontae Freeman, this opens up a lot of room for Coleman to have a good week in the run and pass game. So far this year, he's averaging 4.8 yards per carry and 11.9 yards a catch, averaging 8.4 points a game in standard leagues, and he's really good in PPR with all the catches. The Falcons have a good offensive line, and the Seahawks have a great defense, but you can still expect Coleman to have a breakout week.
More likely than not, my start of the week is going to be the tight end playing the Giants. They've given up by far the most points to opposing tight ends after giving up 9 straight touchdowns. This week, that's Travis Kelce. He's already tight end 1 in standard leagues, and this week he gets the Giants, so he's going to have a big day. Start Travis Kelce.
My start of the week is Leonard Fournette with a great matchup against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns' defense gives up 16 points per game this season, which is 31st in the NFL. Also, the Browns' secondary is very underrated, and I think the Jaguars will look to run the ball against them.
The Browns have a really bad defense. On the opposite side of things, my sit of the week is Marcus Mariota. He's had a bunch of nagging injuries through the year that has limited his offensive production. Playing a Steelers defense who only allows 182 yards per game in the air. The Steelers have also only given up 8 touchdowns through the air. And the Titans will look to run the ball more with DeMarco Murray, as he had a great week last week, and the Steelers give up over 100 yards per game on the ground.
I completely agree with that, Josh. I think DeMarco Murray is going to look to have another great game just like last week, so the Titans are going to try to run the ball as much as possible with him and get him going.
My sit of the week is Isaiah Crowell of the Cleveland Browns against the Jaguars. The Jaguars' defense has allowed 163 yards per game to opposing running backs, which is first place in the NFL.
My sit of the week is Vikings receiver Adam Thielen. Though he had a fantastic week last week, he goes up against a tough defense in the Rams. The Rams rank 9th in pass defense, which could lead to some trouble for Thielen. Also, he has put up 5 points or less 4 times and less than 4 points twice, which could be troubling for fantasy owners.
In Week 11, Joe Mixon heads to Denver to face a really nice Broncos run defense, who have only allowed 4 touchdowns to opposing running backs and only 700 yards on the ground over 8 games. I think he's going to have a struggling week after getting a lot of volume, but he's not going to get the production you're looking for if you're going to start him.
That's very interesting, Aaron. I happen to have Joe Mixon on my team. Should I start him or Deion Lewis in this upcoming week?
That's a pretty tough one, but I think this week I'd go with Lewis because the Patriots just have a much better offense in general, and he's going to get a lot more opportunities to get some points.
I also agree with Aaron. I think you should start Deion Lewis over Mixon. Deion Lewis happens to be my sleeper of the week. Over the last 5 weeks, Lewis averages 12 carries for 56 yards. Although that might seem mediocre, he is having to find the end zone twice last week. He also returns kicks, which can get you some points if he scores a touchdown because special teams touchdowns count for fantasy. Also, Lewis is only owned in 33% of ESPN leagues, so that makes him a huge sleeper. So if he's available in your league, you should definitely go and pick him up.
While we're on the topic of sleepers, my sleeper of the week is Dallas Cowboys running back Rod Smith. Rod Smith had the most snaps out of any Dallas Cowboy running back this week, and I think he's going to take over most of the carries in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, I would also add that he's probably a better option for PPR because of the 3 Cowboys running backs that were expected to fill Zeke's role. He had the most receptions and the most receiving yards. But in standards, he's still pretty good.
My sleeper of the week is Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Martavis Bryant. Martavis Bryant hasn't seen much action this year due to the fact that he doesn't want to be on the team anymore. He tweeted some bad things, which made him miss a game or two this season. Even though Brown and Juju are getting most of the targets, Bryant will look to get a lot more targets.
In Week 11.
Who do the Steelers play, Josh?
The Titans. The Titans' defense has been struggling all year, and that's why this is the perfect opportunity for Bryant to finally get going in 2017.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think Bryant will probably have a big game as long as the Steelers get into the red zone a bunch of times. Last week, I saw he got targeted in the red zone a few times, so I think he'll have a good follow-up performance this week.
This will definitely get him going. I believe he'll get his first touchdown in 2017, and he will definitely be a good fantasy option to get down the road.
I don't know about that one, because they have a guy on their team called Juju, and you can't mess with Juju, so tell Martavis to hit the road, Jack.
Well, I'm starting Juju this week, so he better go off for me.
So am I.
Nah, I think Brian will bounce back. You know how good he was a couple years ago? It's just because of the suspension, he's had a rough year, but I think eventually he'll start getting back into his old self and getting all those red zone targets and touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that. If I'm being completely honest, I think in terms of talent, Martavis Bryant is definitely a top 10 receiver in this league. I've just seen him make some crazy catches, and he just doesn't get enough opportunities this year.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that too. Psych, he is trash, bro. Get this man off the team.
I agree with Aaron in the sense that he has a lot of talent. I think he's just a good player on the wrong team. If he was on a different team, maybe like the Rams, I don't know, just thinking of one off the top of my head, I think he'd be better.
Yeah, Dawson has absolutely no idea what he is talking about.
Hey,
in this situation.
Just look at my record, and that's all you need to do.
All right, whatever. Aaron, who's your sleeper of the week?
This week, I'm going to go with Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett. I know he hasn't been the most consistent play this year, but he has a big play ability, as we all know. So this week against a suspect Falcons defense, I think he has the chance to break away a few tackles off big catches and get some nice long touchdowns for you on your fantasy roster this week.
I kind of agree, Aaron, but though Tyler Lockett has had some big weeks, I still don't trust him because he's never had 2 or 3 consistent weeks, so I just can't trust him yet, putting him in a starting lineup.
Yeah, I don't have him on any of my teams this week either. I'm just saying if you're desperate for a flex play, he definitely has a chance to be really good.
So, like, in 14-team leagues?
Yeah, possibly, or if you have some buys.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Very low-tier flex play. Do not recommend.
Some may say that the waiver wire is the key to a championship. I am one of those believers.
I'm also one of those people.
And so this week, in the waiver wire, I think you should look for Packers running back Jamal Williams. With the injury to Aaron Jones, he's looking to step into that number one running back role, even with Ty Montgomery still there.
I agree. I think you should pick up Williams. Last week he had 20 carries after Montgomery and Jones went down, and I think he'll have a big follow-up performance this week.
I personally just can't trust anybody on the Packers offense. It's just not looking good, and I don't think it's going to continue the rest of the season.
I feel the same way about Jordy Nelson, especially because I drafted him the first round, and his production just went way down, so I ended up trading him.
I completely disagree. I think that once Brett Hundley just gets on the right page with his receivers, the Packers offense will get better and better. Last week you saw Devontae Adams had a big week. He had a touchdown, I think, around 90 yards. because he was on the same page as Hundley. If they can just connect and just get on the same page, I think the Packers' offense could be not the same when Aaron Rodgers is there, but almost the exact same.
I disagree because from what I've seen from Hundley, he just seems like a poor man's Jacoby Brissett. He's not the best passer at all, and he just does the work on the ground. And unless he can get better, which I don't really expect, then the Packers' offense just doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Especially with the Packers fighting for a playoff spot, there's definitely a lot more pressure on the offense, and I just don't know if Brett Hundley can handle all of it.
The fact that Brett Hundley is a poor man's Jacoby Brissett proves that Jamal Williams is going to be at least a low-end RB1. Just look at how Aaron Jones has performed in the last couple of weeks.
Okay, but if the Packers are down by a lot because Hundley can't manage the offense, doesn't that mean they're going to be passing more and not running, and that's why you shouldn't pick up Williams?
Yeah, but look who they're playing this week. The Baltimore Ravens, they're going to run all over them.
The Ravens defense has been performing very well all season. That's definitely going to continue this week.
I think I hear some bias in this room right now. I think there's too many Baltimore Ravens fans.
Despite the Ravens' really good defense, I think, which doesn't help Williams at all, he does seem to be their only running back, and they're going to go to him a lot, and I think he's pretty talented, so he's going to have a good week, but I don't know about from now on.
I agree with that because the Ravens' offense isn't that good, so the Packers might not be losing by a lot, but if they are losing by a lot or they do end up going down by a lot, I don't think Williams will get many touches at all.
Another waiver wire you should definitely look for is Shamaze Perine. He's been a great running back when he's had actual carries this year, and due to the injury with Rob Kelly in Week 10 and him getting put on IR, you can expect Perine to get a lot more carries and get more involved in offense. He's averaged almost 4 yards a carry, and we'll have to continue that throughout the rest of the season.
I agree. I love the way Perine runs the football. He just trucks over anyone in his path.
I think Perine is a pretty good goal line back, but the fact that Chris Thompson's stealing a lot of touches, it doesn't make me that confident in him.
Yeah, I agree with Aaron. I don't really trust Redskins running backs since they split and they have Thompson. But I think if you're in a 14-team league or a 12-team league and Perine is available, you should definitely pick him up.
I feel like since the Redskins don't really have a huge red zone threat, that they're going to use their running backs to get some goal line touches, and I think he might get in the end zone this week.
Perine is definitely a good RB2 option with struggling fantasy owners, and definitely a good flex option if you really need to.
Devin, who are you looking for on the waiver wire this week?
My waiver wire pickup is Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson has found the end zone in the past 4 weeks and averages 12.8 points in those last 4 weeks. He's a Jets receiver also, so you might not have heard of him since the Jets are just an average, low-end team. However, Robbie Anderson is on a bye this week, but he's only owned in 68.9% of ESPN leagues, so you might not need to pick him up this week, but maybe the week after.
I actually disagree with that because the Jets' offense just, I think, has been hot lately, and it's definitely going to go down. If you look at their schedule down the road, they have some really tough matchups. So I think Robbie Anderson's going to be a boomer bust kind of guy towards the end of the season and into the playoffs.
I think Josh McCown's a really good quarterback, and I think he's done a good job of getting Robbie Anderson involved. I think he's going to continue to do that, so I agree with Devin.
I agree with Josh. Josh McCown is a great quarterback, and I think he's going to continue his success.
Just look at the Jets' offense last year compared to this year. Robbie Anderson makes a huge difference on the team, and having him there is just a big boost for the offense. I think you should definitely start him if you have him because he's able to find the end zone easily.
The Jets player I'm looking to get on my team for the rest of the season is running back Bilal Powell. I think based off of just pure talent, he's by far the best in that backfield between Matt Forte and Elijah McGuire. And if you remember from last year, in the last 4 weeks of the season, Bilal Powell was actually a top three running back in all standard formats. So I think this year, I wouldn't be surprised to see that production again.
I completely disagree with that, Aaron. I think Bilal Powell has a lot of talent, but on the Jets so far this year, he's only had one good week. And he only has good weeks when Matt Forte is out. And last week, Matt Forte wasn't playing. Bilal Powell had 2 fantasy points, and he fumbled. I do not trust him at all whatsoever this year. I've started him multiple times, and he's let me down every time except for one. So I would just stay away from Powell, in my opinion, as much as possible.
I think due to the bad game from him last week and the fact that he's heading into a bye week this week makes him a great trade target because people are not going to be looking for much for him.
But the bye week means that Matt Forte just has another week to get healthy. And if they're splitting, I don't think either of them are very effective. And when they're both there, Matt Forte always ends up getting more touches and more points.
I guess we will find out.
Bilal Powell is a very bad fantasy option, and do not listen to Aaron. He splits carries with Matt Forte, and Matt Forte is clearly the better running back as he gets more touches and more yards when he's in the game.
You think Matt Forte is still better even though he's getting really old?
Yes. Matt Forte is very good.
I agree with Aaron, actually. Bilal Powell is a good running back, but the Jets just don't give him the ball. And if I was the Jets, I would just give up on Matt Forte and start giving the ball to the real running back.
Nah, Matt Forte has been effective multiple times this year, and also they have third-string running back Elijah McGuire, who's also proved to be a good running back in the league.
Yeah, the thing that scares me the most is I'm fine that I don't think Matt Forte is going to do a lot of work in the last month of the season, because I think with the Jets getting eliminated from the playoffs, they're going to look to their youth for the end. And Elijah McGuire is also very young, and he's a lot of potential, so I think he's going to take a lot of volume from Powell.
Honestly, if I had a choice, I wouldn't want to start any Jets running back, so if you have to do that, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, I agree with Dawson. I would just try to stay away from Jets running backs at all costs, and if you need to start one of them, try to start Matt Forte.
Aaron, since all your fantasy teams are quote-unquote really good, what is your waiver wire of the week?
Well, unfortunately, I couldn't get him in any of my teams this week, but I think Austin Ekeler, the running back for the Chargers, has a lot of potential for the end of the season. He not only had a big game in Week 10, but Melvin Gordon, if he were to get injured or something, Ekeler would be right there to receive all the workload in San Diego.
Aaron, I do recall that the Chargers are now in L.A., not San Diego.
Oh, yeah. That's my fault. I keep forgetting.
Also, this guy lost the game against the Jaguars. He fumbled at the end of regulation, which allowed the Jaguars to kick a field goal, tie the game, and win the game in overtime.
I agree with Josh, and I completely disagree with Aaron. I think Melvin Gordon's going to be receiving majority of the workload for the rest of the season, and maybe even if he is hurt, then you would have to go to Ekeler. He'd be a good option. But right now, I think you just shouldn't trust Ekeler at all because Melvin Gordon will be receiving majority of the touches.
I'm not saying Eckler's a guy you can start right now because he's not going to get a lot of points while Gordon's on the field, but he's a guy that I would stash in my leagues if I can because the value he has if Gordon were to go down. That's the only way I would start him.
If anyone has Melvin Gordon, they need to have Ekeler on their bench. That's basically what we're trying to tell you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I agree with that. That's what I do on my team.
I know on my 14-team league team, the waiver wire is very dry these days, so I'm looking to just pick up some nice handcuffs because they have some value if anything were to happen to some of the bigger name running backs.
I also think it's a good idea if your team is already headed to the playoffs to look for some guys that might come back from injury, like Greg Olsen or maybe even David Johnson.
I don't think David Johnson's coming back, but Greg Olsen's a guy that I'm really looking forward to having on my teams because he's really a top three tight end when he's healthy. Maybe not this year, but he has the talent. And he's coming back Thanksgiving or Week 12, probably. So he's going to have some very good production towards the end of the year without Kelvin Benjamin on the Panthers roster.
Yeah, I think Greg Olsen, when he comes back, he might not have good games in the beginning, but after a few weeks, he'll eventually get back to how he was years prior to this year. So I think he'll be a very good pickup if he's available in your leagues. Maybe stash him on your bench if you have an extra spot.
Aaron, you seem to have a lot of knowledge about fantasy football. Can you give me some more other handcuffs?
Yeah, some other guys that I'm looking to roster as handcuffs are Lance Dunbar for the Rams, who's going to be Todd Gurley's handcuff, Charcandrick West for the Chiefs, who's currently Kareem Hunt's backup. I also like James Conner of the Steelers, if anything were to happen to Le'Veon Bell, and also Matt Breida for the San Francisco 49ers. He's had a great season, and if anything were to happen to Carlos Hyde, I think Breida would be right there and have some great production at the end of the season.
I also agree with the Breida one. I think he's going to get a lot more touches ever since the 49ers are now 1-9.
I agree with that, too. I think Breida is a very talented backup, and if Carlos Hyde were to go down, he'd be the perfect guy to fill in for him.
I love James Conner as a handcuff for Le'Veon Bell. Even from his time at University of Pittsburgh, I could tell he was going to end up as a good running back in the NFL.
I think Conner will be a good handcuff if Bell were to go down, but I think it's extremely unlikely for Bell to go down. He hasn't been injured in years, if I remember, and I think he's one of the most durable players in the NFL.
The only time Le'Veon Bell doesn't play is when he does drugs and gets suspended.
I disagree because I'm not sure if this is right, but if I remember correctly, a few years ago, he missed like the whole season for an injury or something, and I just remember him being known as one of the more injury-prone running backs in the league, right up there with Carlos Hyde, who I'm surprised hasn't been injured yet.
But over the last 2 years, he hasn't been hurt, and he's played like majority of the game, getting 30 rushes sometimes, which can do a bit to your body getting hit 30 times.
Actually, if I remember it correctly, last year in the playoffs, Le'Veon Bell got hurt against the Patriots, so that was in the last 2 years.
Dawson, you're just a Patriots fan, aren't you? That makes you happy.
I mean, yeah. I have a tough question for you guys. I'm stuck in a situation with my quarterbacks. I just recently traded for Tyrod Taylor, and of course he gets benched the day after I trade for him. So I'm stuck with either starting Mitch Trubisky or Brett Hundley. What do you guys have to say?
Stay away from both of them. They're both so bad fantasy quarterbacks, and that is the worst option you can possibly have. Your team must be really, really bad.
Yeah, I agree with Josh, but since you have to start one of them, I would say Trubisky, since Hundley's going up against the Ravens, who have a really good secondary.
That's a really tough one because I think they're both very limited in terms of upside, but I'd probably go with Hundley because he has a better chance of getting that rushing touchdown, whereas Trubisky is just solely reliant on the pass.
Go back to the waiver wire.
I don't have any other options, so I think I'm just going to go with Trubisky.
I don't know if these guys are available in your league or not, but either Jay Cutler or Ryan Fitzpatrick I think are really good streaming options for Week 11 just because that's going to be a high-scoring game and both defenses are awful.
What you could also do is go to the Bills backup, Peterman, because when he got in the game last week, he had a very good drive on the last one and threw a touchdown, so maybe he'll continue that upside towards this week.
Yeah, Peterman looked pretty good. You should try to give him a pickup if he's available.
All right, thanks for the help, guys.
One trade target you should definitely try and get is Ezekiel Elliott. If you think and your team's going to go to the championship game in your fantasy leagues, you should definitely try and get him. But what kind of upside would you give up for him is the question.
Well, Wednesday night, it was announced that Zeke withdrew his appeal, so he's definitely not playing until Week 16. So if your fantasy championship's in Week 16, that's the only reason you'd roster him. So I would only trade for him if you're very confident that you're going to make the playoffs and make it to the championship. So I actually recently just traded for him. I gave up Amir Abdullah and Marquise Lee because I had a lot of depth at the running back and wide receiver positions, and I just thought if I make it to the championship, then it's a lock because I'll have Zeke.
You see, I don't know if I agree with that trade because you're kind of giving up a lot for a player that's not playing unless you're in the championship. I think if you're trading for Zeke, you should try to give up as little as possible since he's not going to be there for 6 weeks.
I think the only way you should ever trade for Zeke in this situation is if you have too many running backs or too many wide receivers and need to dump off a few of them.
Yeah, I had Abdullah as basically my running back 5 and Lee as my wide receiver 4, so they had very little value on my team. And I think Zeke coming to the squad has some very good potential as long as I can make it to the finals.
Would giving up a big-name receiver or running back be worth it?
Absolutely not. He's only playing 1 week, and unless you're absolutely stacked at whatever position you're trying to give up, then I would never do that.
This seems to be a trembling topic when it comes to playoffs and fantasy football. Would you guys prefer having no conferences or having actual conferences where a top 3 or top 4 teams from each conference make the playoffs?
Personally, it doesn't really matter. I think if you're in a friend group that's all doing a league, then conferences would be more fun because it just makes things more competitive. But in terms of overall success, I think no conferences will determine the best teams for the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I think the teams with the best record should definitely make the playoffs. And if there's conferences, that might not happen.
That puts a lot of pressure on league owners in the beginning of the year to make conferences if you want to actually have them, because you don't know who's going to be good and who's going to be really bad after the draft, because you always set conferences before the draft.
That's a great point, Josh. So next year when you're making your leagues, just keep that in mind. So for the rest of the season, who do you guys think is the number one overall team heading forward right now?
It is very obvious as to who the number one team is, the Eagles. The Eagles have had such a good season so far. Their defense is just outstanding, and their offense has gotten so much better ever since they acquired Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the Eagles are definitely the number one team right now because their offense has just been going crazy the past few weeks, and with the addition of Jay Ajayi, I think that their offense is definitely a force to be reckoned with, and their defense has been playing well too. So if they just keep playing like this, I think they're clear-cut to go very far in the playoffs.
I agree. I think the Eagles are the number one team at the moment, but the Rams are very hot on their tail. And when it comes to playoff time, you already know the Patriots are going to be the best team.
I actually have a different number two. I think the Patriots are really hot on the Eagles' tail. The Patriots have had a really good offseason and carried into this season. They acquired very good defense and some good offensive key factors. That's going to help them.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are also number two. Even with the loss of Hightower on their defense, they're still playing at a very high level and still are able to win games, which is what you need to go far in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with Devin and Josh because I think the Rams right now, they seem to be the most talented, but we all have a feeling that come playoff time, the Patriots just get down to business and they win games. So we'll have the Patriots at number two and the Rams at number three, I can think.
The Patriots also have a lot more experience when it comes to the playoffs and Super Bowls, because obviously Tom Brady led the biggest comeback of all time in a Super Bowl this last season, and I think that's going to continue. I think they're going to win another Super Bowl.
For the number four spot, I think it could be up in the air between the Vikings, the Saints, and the Steelers. What do you guys think?
Well, I just don't really trust the Vikings, even though they have a good record. I just don't trust their offense, and I don't trust Keenum either.
I'm going to have to go with the Saints out of those teams, because just looking at their defense and how much it's improved over the last couple of years, it's unbelievable, and Drew Brees is still playing at the top of his game.
To be quite honest, I see the Panthers as the fourth best team in the league. Their defense is really, really good, and it's been very much improved since week one. And their offense, I believe, has gotten a lot better ever since they traded Kelvin Benjamin, and I think it's going to continue to be like that.
Being a Panthers fan myself, I want to put them in the top five so badly, but I just can't, because they have a really good record, and I think it's going to get even better, and they'll make the playoffs for sure, I believe. But their schedule is just so easy that they're going to get underlooked, I should say. And in the playoffs, they're not going to produce as well as they should. I think they have the best defense in the league as well, but their offense just is struggling.
With me being a biased Ravens fan, I really don't want to put the Steelers up in the top five, but if we had to choose anything, they're five. Their offense is just really, really good with so many weapons they have.
Unfortunately, I think the Saints right now are the fourth best team. They just are clicking on all cylinders, and shockingly on defense as well. They're just blowing teams out at this point in the season.
Yeah, I think the Saints are definitely a top team as well. With their two-headed dragon rushing attack with Kamara and Ingram, I think they're definitely a force to be reckoned with, and you have to really key in on their rushing game if you want to stop them. And going back to what they were saying about the Panthers, though I want to put them as a top five team, I can't, because I don't trust Cam at all. He's been really streaky this year. He's had some good games and some bad games, so you never know what you're going to get from Cam this year.
I agree. I think the Panthers are in the top five, but all of their success is based on how well Cam Newton plays and how aggressively he plays. If he runs the ball multiple times per game and gets over 100 yards rushing, there's no way the Panthers are going to lose.
I just don't get why people trust the Rams. Jared Goff has surprised many, many people this year, but I just don't see that continuing throughout the rest of the playoffs. And they've never had good seasons in the past 5 to 10 years, and I just see a big choke coming down the road.
Yeah, I agree with Josh. The Rams are a really easy team to scout, because all they have to do is stop Todd Gurley, because the Rams' passing offense is not that good. Like, their best receivers, Watkins and Kupp. Watkins hasn't been good at all this year. He's had one or two good games. Other than that, he's been really streaky and done virtually nothing.
I actually completely disagree, because I think Jared Goff is playing really well this year under center, along with a stellar Rams defense. They have a great wide receiver core of Woods, Kupp, Watkins, and Tavon Austin. I think there's just too many weapons there down in L.A. where they're going to go really far in the playoffs. I think they're really clicking on all cylinders at this time.
Cooper Kupp has had a case of the dropsies this year, and I think that's going to keep continuing.
And also, Tavon Austin's been pretty much irrelevant in the receiving game. His only big plays come from rushes and jet sweeps.
Who needs Tavon Austin when you have Robert Woods?
Yeah, Woods is really emerging this year.
Yeah, I forgot about Woods. He had a pretty good game last week.
So to recap our top five power rankings heading into week 11, we have number one, the Philadelphia Eagles, two, the New England Patriots, three, the Los Angeles Rams, four, the New Orleans Saints, and five, we have the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, to end the podcast, we're going to play a little game that we like to call the Weekly Pick'ems. So me, Aaron, Dawson, and Josh are going to predict the winner of a bunch of key games each week in the NFL. And if you guess right, you get a point for each time the team you pick to win wins. And if you don't get it right, then you get no points. And at the end of the NFL season, we're going to add up all our points, and whoever has the most points wins. And it's going to be like a friendly little competition, and it's going to be fun.
All right, so the first key matchup is Ravens versus Packers. For this game, I'm going with the Packers. Devin, what you got?
I think that the Ravens are going to win.
This is a tough one for me, because the Ravens are coming off bye, and I think they're going to have a big week. But also, the Packers are in a slump, and I think they'll get out of it this week. So it's going to be a close game, but I'll give the slight edge to the Ravens because they're going to be at home.
I'm going to go ahead and pick the Ravens to win this game. I think their defense is going to carry them, and they'll win easily.
Okay, the next key game is going to be the Redskins versus the Saints. In my opinion, I think the Saints are going to win. What do you think, Aaron?
I think the Saints are the much better team, but I just have a feeling the Redskins are going to steal this one.
I've got the Saints in this one. Hashtag who dat.
I think the Saints are going to end up blowing out the Redskins. I think their defense is too much for the Redskins offense to handle.
Next up, we have the Bills heading to L.A. to play the Chargers. And I think this is going to be also a very close game, but I'm giving the Chargers a slight edge.
I agree with Aaron. I also think the Chargers are going to win just because the Bills are playing with a new quarterback, so they might not be as good as they were in previous weeks.
As much as I want to pick the Bills, the Chargers are going to win this one just because they're not starting Tyrod Taylor. Why would you bench Tyrod Taylor?
I think the Bills are going to go ahead and pull this one out. I think Peterman's going to have a first good start of his career, and he's just going to throw for about 3 touchdowns.
Next up, we've got the game of the week, the Rams versus the Vikings. I'm going with the Vikings in this one. What you guys got?
I think the Rams are going to take this one. I don't think the Vikings are going to be able to stop Todd Gurley.
I think the Rams are the better team, but I'm also going to pick the Vikings just because they're at home.
I think the Vikings are going to go ahead and win. I think this is where the Rams start to choke their season away. Jared Goff's going to throw a bunch of interceptions, and the Vikings defense is just way too good.
All right, our next game is going to be the Patriots versus the Raiders. And in my opinion, I think the Raiders are going to win.
Patriots.
I disagree with Devin. I'm also going with the Patriots. I think they're the better team.
This is about the time of the season where the Patriots start to turn it on, and I think they're going to keep doing that. They're going to easily beat the Raiders.
Next up, we have a key divisional matchup with the Cowboys against the Eagles. In this game, I'm going with the Eagles.
As I said earlier, I think the Eagles are the number one team in the league, but I think the Cowboys are going to go ahead and pull off this upset. I think Dak Prescott's going to have a really good game.
I completely agree with Josh in that the Eagles are the best team in the league, but this division rivalry is going to be something that the Cowboys take seriously, and they'll pull it out at home.
I think the Eagles are going to be too much for the Cowboys to handle, and I don't think the Cowboys will be able to stop the Eagles' high-powered offense.
Lastly, we have the Monday night matchup between the Seahawks and the Falcons. I think the Seahawks can go ahead and pull this one off. I think Russell Wilson's going to have a really good game, and then the Seahawks defense is going to shut down Matt Ryan in that high-powered offense.
I agree with Josh. I'm going with the Seahawks also.
I think the Falcons are going to win because since Richard Sherman's not playing, Julio Jones is just going to be too much for the Seahawks defense to handle.
I also think the Seahawks are going to win. They always seem to get hot towards the end of the year. So those have been our pick'ems for the week, and we'll keep you guys updated as the season progresses of the standings.
From your boys, Dawson Wolf,
Devin Hendrick,
Aaron Hirsch,
and Josh Mann, this has been our first ever edition of Expert Hour, and we out.